Good day and welcome to another episode of the International News Desk. I'm, of course, your host, Sean Roberts, and the legend himself, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield, joins me on this Wednesday morning. Kurtie, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Sean. How are you doing?
I am very well. Kurt, I think let's just start off and get the out the way. Let's go to Man United again. Let's talk about your man, Cristiano Ronaldo, and what he has done, and the timing of it, and the reasoning behind it, or the lack of timing of it, I should say. And just what his modus operandi here is, in my opinion, it is literally just to get fired so he can move out of United. I can't see any other reason why he would do something so crazy, but let's just tell the people what has happened over the past 48 hours.
Yeah, so Ronaldo gave an interview to English journalist, broadcaster, former Britain's Got Talent judge, is how I'll describe him, Piers Morgan. And he controversially said that he doesn't have any respect for Erik ten Hag. He spoke poorly about the club, and he made some statements that are true about the facilities having been run down over the last couple of years, nothing changing at Carrington. He criticized a few of the executives. He made some comments about the Glazer family. He went at Gary Neville, Wayne Rooney, people who have said things about him over the last few weeks. They've criticized his attitude and some off-field incidents. I think we need to start with what his motivation is, and it most likely is to get his contract terminated. Mm-hmm. Because why else would you do that at this time, when there's a big break now in club football for the World Cup, ahead of the January transfer window? So we can only assume that he is trying to leave Manchester United. He did try and leave at the start of the season. From reports that we read, there were no takers. No clubs actually came in with official bids for Ronaldo, so the club struggled to let him go. But I've read that over the last couple of months, Erik ten Hag and Manchester United sporting director have been open to letting Ronaldo go for free. No offers have arrived. And it just seems like Ronaldo is now taking that into his own hands by doing this interview. The full interview will be released later this week, apparently. Mm-hmm. So Piers Morgan has just been dropping these snippets throughout the week. But very controversial. I think very, very poor. You can only imagine how infuriated Erik ten Hag will be, because this comes after Manchester United beat Fulham 2-1. When was that? On Sunday night, with a dramatic last-minute winner by Alejandro Garnacho, the 18-year-old kid. So there was a great story for United, and then just a couple of hours later, word of this interview spreads, and Ronaldo is seen saying that he has no respect for ten Hag, because Erik ten Hag has no respect for him. It's going to get messy. I think it's going to get really, really messy, but I do suspect that Ronaldo has probably played his last game for Manchester United already.
But it's just like, he is an absolute United legend. I mean, there's no doubt about that. One of the best players ever to come through the ranks. Well, he joined at 1920, I think, but he's just completely ruined his reputation. Like, I just don't get it. Like, it is just, it's so bizarre. Is it desperate? Is it, there's only so much someone can take in terms of the criticism and the press he's got. And he keeps on saying, wait till the truth comes out, wait till the truth comes out. So I suppose we'll wait till Friday. This is it.
Yeah. So I think it shows an incredible lack of self-awareness on Ronaldo's part. Firstly, to do the interview with Piers Morgan, who isn't liked and who is a professional troll. This is what he lives for. He loves to annoy people and to people off, really. Yeah. He's been doing that throughout his career, and especially over the last couple of years, where he was kicked off, I think, I can't remember what show it was. Was it Good Morning Britain? Or there was some show that he was on where he was kicked off for making some comments. He walked off the show. There's actual footage of him leaving the show while it was streaming because of a disagreement with a co-host. So this is what Piers Morgan does. He lives to be controversial. So for him to have gotten these things out of Ronaldo, I don't think that Ronaldo is quite aware of the impact it was going to make and have. and just how Piers Morgan was going to absolutely milk this. So by releasing these snippets with these very controversial headlines, it just has made him look really, really stupid. And you know, I think it's just very clear to everybody who's watched him play this season that he's just absolutely not at it. He's not playing well. He doesn't suit Ten Hag's system. Those questions were asked as soon as Ten Hag was appointed. And it's sort of played out that way. So yeah, I think it's coming from a place of hurt. I think that he's upset. And I think it is desperation for him, like you said. I think that he's so desperate for love and attention right now because he's had that throughout his career. And the last 6 months have been absolutely horrific, if you're Ronaldo, that he will align himself with anybody who appears to be on his side. And I think that that's the way that Piers Morgan has sort of framed himself over the last couple of years. Constantly gets into debates with like Gary Lineker and whoever really, that Ronaldo's the greatest player of all time. And then he will have some choice words about Messi. So I think that he's sort of been building up to this moment where he gets his exclusive with Ronaldo. He did the interview with Ronaldo in 2019 after those allegations came out against Ronaldo. He had the exclusive there. So they do have some sort of a relationship. But I think that, I mean, I think Ronaldo in a few years' time, hopefully, will realize that he's been taken advantage of here. And I think he looks really, really stupid, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so sad. I think the word frustration comes in from his part. And I see this morning there's talks of possibly a move to Inter Miami now.
So, yeah, I've seen Inter Miami. I've seen that Leon has emerged as a potential option. There were rumors earlier this week that Bayern Munich were interested in him, but apparently that's false. Yeah. So who knows where he'll go? I don't think he can leave Manchester United and join another top club after what he's just done. I think that he's made it even more difficult for himself to find a new club. Look, what frustrated me about the interview, I think the most, was that, and somebody made this comparison on Twitter, they said that he's sort of carrying himself like a Donald Trump figure, where everyone who has said something bad about him is in his bad books, and everyone who has said something good about him recently is in his good books. So Roy Keane and Ferdinand have been very public with their defense of Ronaldo, saying that, you know, Ten Hag has mistreated him and disrespected him. Ferdinand has accused the club of not communicating well with Ronaldo. So Ronaldo in that interview, oh, Ferdinand and Keane are very good guys. Roy Keane was my greatest ever captain. Rio Ferdinand was my neighbor and he helped me a lot when I moved to United. I think that was in 2003. But then Rooney and Gary Neville, who have said that Manchester United look a better team without him, they're now his enemies. And yeah. Ronaldo even resorted to saying that he's better looking than Rooney, which is just insane. I mean, that is insane behavior to go on air and be like I'm not going to say I'm better looking than Rooney, which is true. And then Piers Morgan bursts out laughing. I mean, it's just crazy at this point.
It's entertainment.
It's entertainment, but he's burning so many bridges when he really doesn't have to be doing this. I think that at 37 years old, you know, he shouldn't be too harsh on himself for not being able to perform like he once could. So it's really childish and amateurish, and I hope that one day he regrets this. But it looks like the storm is going to get worse because, like I said, this full interview comes out later this week, where there's probably going to be so many more comments about maybe teammates, maybe Ten Hag, maybe about the club. And I just think that there's no way back for him. I think that Ten Hag behind the scenes has decided that Ronaldo is gone, and they'll do everything they can to rip up his contract in a few weeks' time.
I think it'll be interesting to see the... I think there might have been something in the press. I think Ronaldo did go to the camp for the World Cup, and I don't know, how was Bruno Fernandes towards him?
Yeah, so there was a clip that emerged yesterday, and this was very, very interesting. And they've already tried to play it down. So João Mário, a Portuguese international, has come out and said it was a joke between Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes. But what the clip was Bruno entering the changing room where he sits next to Ronaldo. He puts his hand on Ronaldo's elbow as if to, like, before greeting him, but then turns to him, shakes his hand, but doesn't look him in the eye. You can actually see the footage. He's not looking Ronaldo in the eye at any point, and then turns away And Ronaldo's hand is kind of just left out, and he's just looking at Bruno Fernandes, just sort of staring at the back of his head while Bruno Fernandes, I assume, goes to greet other teammates. It looked like someone who is not happy with his club teammate. But like I said, João Mário came out and said it was a joke between them, but I think that they probably have to say this.
They're
about to go into a World Cup.
Yes.
They have to make it appear like there's no problems in the camp.
Yeah.
But that was another point I wanted to raise, actually, was that every Manchester United player this season, and top players like Casemiro, like Rafael Varane, Lautaro Martinez, I mean, not Lautaro Martinez, what's his name, the centre-back?
Check it out, hosting a football podcast.
I cannot believe that I'm blanking on his first name.
This is why I don't want you on the show, Kurt.
Anyway, Martinez, there was, who else? I mean, every Rashford, Martial, every sort of player of significance at Manchester United has really, really enjoyed what Ten Hag has introduced to the team in terms of the rules and the cultures and the values, and then the way that he's implemented his style of play. They can all see this going in a good direction, in a positive direction. So for Ronaldo to come out and say that he doesn't respect Ten Hag, I just don't think that that sits well with his teammates, regardless of who he is, regardless of who's saying it. I think that they'll be pretty pissed off with him. So it's not just that he's sort of waged this war on Ten Hag and Manchester United's owners, but I feel like he is, he's just causing a lot of dressing room drama, and that's not going to go down well. So it's a lot of unnecessary bullshit that Manchester United will not want to be dealing with, especially when they've had 10 years of failure since Sir Alex Ferguson's departure. And this moment, at least, it feels like things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and last thoughts on this. Ronaldo did quite specifically say that nothing has really changed since Fergie has left, right? He says even in terms of like the canteen and the technical stuff at the... He says nothing has really changed, and it's or evolved, I think, is the word. Which is, I mean, he's going a little bit deep there, but... We will watch that one closely, Kurt. Let's get on to the bigger news, I would say, and that's the World Cup kicking off in a few days. I cannot believe it's here already. It's ridiculous. I'd love to get to hear your thoughts in terms of possibly the groups to look out for. I'm going to give you my predictions in terms of the semis.
You're going that far?
Yeah, I think I'm going to discuss who the overachievers might even be, the top goal scorer. I mean, have a little think about while you're rambling on. But let's just touch on the World Cup, Cody. Very exciting times. Very bizarre time of the year to have a World Cup slap bang in the middle of the majority of the world's leagues, etc. But I think give us a brief little rundown and what's exciting.
Well, I can't wait for it personally.
Sure.
I know that there's obviously been a lot of controversy around the tournament with regards to the human rights issues in Qatar, with regards to when it's being held, the weather, the fact that fans will not be able to drink at stadiums. I've watched videos on the accommodation that fans will be staying in, and it doesn't look too pretty. And of course, I watched the recent FIFA documentary, FIFA Uncovered, on Netflix. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's basically a deep look into all the corruption at FIFA, really since its start.
Never.
No, it's incredible, Sean. Incredible. So I would highly recommend that. South Africa is mentioned a lot. I will just say that. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm really looking forward to the tournament. I can't wait. I don't think that the first fixture on Sunday between Qatar and Ecuador is a game that I'm... particularly excited by, if I'm honest with you, but I will watch it. I will definitely watch it. I think a big talking point, at least this week, has been Sadio Mane's injury for Senegal. Mm-hmm. He obviously got injured playing for Bayern last week, and there was a report that he would miss the World Cup altogether, but he has been named in the squad. But somebody on Senegal's board has recently just said that Senegal are going to have to play without Mane for the first few games. So there is a doubt whether he gets on at all in the group stage, which is very disappointing, I guess, from his point of view, from Senegal's point of view. He's so important. They won the African Cup of Nations earlier this year, largely thanks to Mane, and qualified for the World Cup largely thanks to Mane.
Yes.
And then I think the first fixture I'm really looking forward to is going to be England and Iran on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Just interested to see what kind of team Southgate puts out. I think we are going to see more what people are calling on Twitter suffer ball, where England don't have a lot of possession. I think in that game, they probably will dominate proceedings. But throughout the tournament, I can't see England playing really exciting football. They weren't a lot of fun to watch at the Euros, mm-hmm. if we're honest. It's a lot of men behind ball and counterattack when they have it, when the ball's transitioned over. But then, Sean, I am most looking forward to Argentina and Saudi Arabia on Tuesday. I think there's a lot of hype around this Argentina team, which I don't think that they will necessarily want. But they are the Copa America champions. They are on a 35-game unbeaten streak, which I think is like the second or third longest unbeaten streak in football history for international teams. So there is understandably a lot of hype. I think if I'm going to make a prediction with regards to player of the tournament, I think that Messi is going to have a great tournament. And I would put Neymar in that category as well. I think that those two in particular are going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, tell me some of your predictions, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, that's you sort of, I've got sort of, you know, I do my research, Kurt. So I've got the most assists. I've got Messi, Neymar. So it sort of ties into what you've said. And we can go to our top four if you're keen. the semis, I've got Argentina, Brazil, Germany, Belgium.
Okay.
And champions, I've got, or the final, I would say, I have Argentina, Brazil.
Okay.
And Argentina to take it.
You really believe so?
I do, bro.
What makes you think that?
I think it's Messi's time. It's the only trophy that he's been missing out of his cabinet. And I think they've got the squad to do it. I think they're super confident. But like you say, there's a certain spotlight on them, which is probably, I wouldn't say the words unnecessary, but not favorable. And, you know, I think maybe there's too much pressure. But again, someone like a Belgium, you know, always such an amazing squad, but always seem to just fail at the last hurdle. I don't see England coming anywhere, to be honest. Top goal scorer, I've got Vinicius Jr.
Okay.
And the biggest, yeah, I've got the biggest underachievers. Can you guess?
Spain?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And the biggest overachievers, I've got Serbia.
Okay. They've got a really good squad.
They do
have a good squad.
Don't know if you disagree with any of that?
No, I don't think I do. I think for top goal scorer, I think I would have Kylian Mbappe somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. But that's obviously dependent on where France go in the tournament.
Of course.
I don't think that they will win it. I don't think they will even come close to winning it. They have a squad. Their squad has been depleted with injuries. They've just suffered a new injury now with Christopher Nkunku sustaining a leg. I think it was a leg injury in after a tackle from a teammate in a warm-up training session now this week. So he's been ruled out of the tournament. France are going to be able to replace him. They're replacing him with another striker who plays in the Bundesliga. But Pogba's missing the tournament, obviously, through injury. N'Golo Kante will be out through injury. Fresnel Kimpembe, the PSG centre-back, is out through injury. So there's a lot going on in that French camp. So I don't think that they'll get anywhere near it. And if you, of course, look historically, over the last 10, 15 years at least, the winner of the tournament always gets knocked out in the following tournament's group stage. So I don't know if France can do it this year. So I think that I would probably have them down as biggest underachievers. Mm-hmm. They do have a good squad still, but I don't think that they can go all the way. And then let me have a look here, Sean. I think Spain are going to be underwhelming too. They don't score a lot of goals, Spain, but they do have a very young squad. They've called up 20-year-old Ansu Fati, 18-year-old Gavi, 19-year-old Pedri. They've left out Sergio Ramos. They've left out David De Gea. So it's a young squad, an exciting squad, probably a squad that Enrique is looking to build for the future.
Yeah.
But of course, they'll go into this tournament believing that they can get far. They kind of have to. I think Netherlands could also surprise a few people at this World Cup.
Nederland, godverdomme. Yeah.
I think that they could. I also don't think England are going to have a very good World Cup. I mean, just the form of some of those players alone, I don't think it's the best sort of form to carry into a World Cup, with Harry Maguire having sat on the bench at United. When he does play, he looks sort of out of sorts. And just knowing that he's going to start every single game for England at the World Cup, surely that can't sort of breed confidence within the camp.
Yeah.
I was excited by James Maddison's call-up, though. That was, that's something to look forward to. But then Brazil are just so strong.
Yeah.
Neymar has been in sensational form this season for PSG. You've got an attacking contingent filled with really, really good players. Vinicius Jr., Rodrigo, both from Real Madrid. Antony at Manchester United, Rafinha at Barcelona. Obviously, a midfield of Casemiro, Fabinho. The defense, Marquinhos and Thiago Silva. It's a really, really strong Brazil squad.
And possibly the two best goalkeepers in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Robertson and Alisson.
Yeah.
Portugal, I think, will have a good tournament. I don't know if they'll win it, or I don't think they'll win it. I think they might get farther. I think they have a really good squad. It'll just be interesting to see what sort of role Ronaldo plays now, because I don't know if... I think we spoke about it on the show, but a few weeks ago, when Portugal had played some international matches, I think it was the UEFA Nations League in September, there were a lot of calls after that international break for Ronaldo to be dropped from the starting 11 in Portugal. So people seem to be sort of turning on him there too. So I don't know what kind of role he'll play. I think that he'll start every game, but I don't think that necessarily helps Portugal's chances. But outside of Ronaldo, they have a really good squad and a very well-rounded squad too.
Yeah, so give me your top four.
My top four, I think I'm going to go Germany. I didn't mention them yet. Brazil, Argentina, and Portugal.
Okay. Portugal, yeah. Singers, eh? Interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, over the next month, I guess, we've got a lot to talk about. So make sure you watch all the games, please, Curti. I'm sure you will. But anything else before we... It's been quite a long podcast. Anything else before we duck?
No, nothing else.
That's it. Let's just keep an eye on the Ronaldo debacle.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it. And that is how we wrap up this episode of the International News Desk. So whether you have been listening on SL Podcast at co.za, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mackie King 96.7's Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Roberts. And of course, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, Sean. Thanks very much.